Education Research. This is episode 60 and focuses on Anne McPhail and colleagues' pedagogical case about Patrick. This is an audio version of the Pepin blog that can be found at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Meeting the needs of all learners. The previous blog explored the pedagogical case of Kate, a six-year-old who was doing well in most areas of school, except when it came to fine and gross motor skills. Looking through the lenses of motor development and biomechanics, we learnt that Kate struggled in comparison to typical developing children. By focusing on her self-esteem, avoiding competitive situations, giving her more visual cues, and by practicing whole body movements, the blog suggested that she could develop her motor skills. This week's blog explores the case of Patrick, a seven-year-old boy with autism. He is isolated from his peers and is caught up in the same movement patterns and habits. Exploring his autism through biopsychomotor and adaptive physical education perspectives, the blog suggests a number of ways of helping Patrick to develop. It suggests that understanding and consistency can lead to significant improvements in both his approach to and engagement in physical activity. Patrick. Patrick is a seven-year-old boy with autism who is keen to stay, very often rigidly, within familiar structures and routines. He dislikes change and doesn't like to change his chosen behaviour, even when that behaviour is one that could cause him harm or could harm others. There is no physical reason why Patrick couldn't be successfully involved in physical activity. However, when he's engaged in the university-based iPlay, Inclusive Play and Leisure Activities for Youth programme, with the individual support of two pre-service teachers, he prefers to rigidly and with no deviation and repeatedly pace backwards and forwards between two benches rather than take advantage of the range of activities occurring around him. Indeed, he seems completely unaware of or unconcerned with what takes place in the multipurpose sports hall. From the perspective of those who care for him, both his family and the two pre-service teachers who support him at iPlay, he shows very few visible signs that he enjoys being involved in either iPlay or physical activity. At home, he is closer to his sister, who is more patient and allows Patrick to perform tasks over and over again, rather than his two brothers. At iPlay, he is happiest when he is close to the two pre-service teachers and when he is allowed to adhere to his routine. He doesn't demonstrate much in the way of emotion about his feelings towards or relationships with his peers, either in terms of his engagement or language. He has difficulties with language and social communication and avoids eye contact, but craves sameness and structure. When this is challenged, Patrick is prone to exhibit his strong will through bouts of out-of-control behaviour, which can involve striking out with his hands until he calms down. Let's look at the pedagogical case in more detail. McPhail and colleagues initially explore Patrick's pedagogical case from a biopsychomotor perspective and suggest that he demonstrates four key characteristics stereotypical of people with autism: reduced interactions, repetitive nature, akinesia muscle rigidity, i.e. slowness in the initiation of movement, and bradykinesia, slowness in the execution of movement. The key is to overcome these and engage Patrick in physical activity. To do this, from a biopsychomotor perspective, it is important and highly desirable to encourage Patrick to physically challenge himself to improve his motor abilities. If such an improvement was made, then, as teachers, we could expect his personal well-being, confidence and motivation to improve, as well as, ultimately, his social interactions with peers. Two elements that Patrick would immediately benefit from improving are his gait and his balance. Because autism presents itself in different ways, such as alterations in motor development milestones, decreased muscle tone, difficulty with voluntary muscle control, and postural control impairment, it is important to try and ensure optimal functionality and independence. Using a 20-meter strip of white tape to limit his range of movement, McPhail and colleagues suggest that Patrick could be asked to perform the familiar task of pacing backwards and forwards between the two benches. The addition of the white tape in the first instance, and then a metronome to enhance the rhythm of his gait, would give a purpose to his pacing. Furthermore, through the use of a watch, practice, perform, reward system, real-term gains in performance could be monitored. By watching firstly the teacher and then himself pacing the 20-meter course, which might eventually be raised onto a bench to increase the difficulty, Patrick could gain a sense of his actions. Then, through practice and assessed performances in which he tries his absolute best, Patrick could begin to see how he's improving. Finally, through the use of reward and motivation charts and celebrations by the teachers, every single achievement could be noted. If Patrick were given half an hour a week for 9 weeks to complete this task, and an associated one-foot balance task that is noted in the chapter, then he would have a real focus for his personal development. Changing focus, the authors explored Patrick's experiences and autism from an adapted physical education perspective. They suggested he was exhibiting pervasive developmental disorder, PDD, which is characterized by impairment in several areas of development, social interaction and communication skills, and the presence of stereotypical behaviors, interests, and activities. However, despite these impairments, daily vigorous aerobic exercise is beneficial for students with autism, as it reduces self-stimulation and off-task behavior, increases time on academic and vocational tasks, and can help to improve gross motor performance. To facilitate his engagement in physical activity, the author suggests that the pre-service teachers engage him in meaningful activity that requires constant communication. Such a system requires 5 components to be in place: the physical structure of the environment, the scheduling of the person's overall day and week, expectations of how the person will work during tasks, routines incorporated within a learning environment, visual schedules to assist in the actual structure of the learning session. MacPhail and colleagues highlighted the particular importance of visual schedules, or a picture exchange communication system. In such a system, Patrick would be allowed to exchange an item or experience for what he wanted to do. For example, and using the biopsychomotor perspective above, Patrick and the pre-service teachers would engage in an if-then exchange, i.e. he could swap a number of attempts over the white line in exchange for something he wanted to do. Drawing these ideas together and focusing on Patrick as a pedagogical case, MacPhail and colleagues suggest that understanding must come first. By acknowledging that he prefers repetition, sameness and structure, and that he avoids change and social interaction, is key to understanding not only where to progress his learning to, for example, towards an acceptance of change and interaction, but also lays down a sense of where the teacher can start. The author suggests that effective teachers are active teachers who keep students consistently engaged in learning tasks, and this appears to be what Patrick needs. That said, modifications to his program could, with adaptations, serve the needs of many students in physical education. By constraining and/or increasing the complexity of the task and the environment, then the performer is forced to adapt as well. The answers are not simple, but they require more than a tweak here and there. To fully engage Patrick and bring him into the learning environment, the teacher needs specialist understanding and the ability to make changes. Unfortunately, adaptive physical education is a minority aspect of many teacher education courses, and the workload of teachers is such that such professional development is hard to come by. Patrick and children like him is in the minority, and therefore his needs, like the teacher's needs for understanding and subject knowledge in this area, are often marginalised in favour of more obvious and pressing needs. So in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, your lessons and your context? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Thanks for listening and join me next week for the next Pepin podcast, where I will discuss Philip Ward and colleagues' pedagogical case about Duchenne. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank Vicky Goodyear for her work behind the scene as copy editor. Her help certainly forms a vital part of the production of this blog and getting it out on time and in a semblance of coherence. However, it is important to note that any mistakes that remain are mine. Thank you.